everyone. Hang on.
War Midwest Guys presents Star Wars Rebels Recon.
My name is Rex, Captain, 501st Clone Battalion.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Lord Vader.
Yes, Master.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down.
As you wish. Your master has deceived you into believing you can become a Jedi.
Things are getting worse just as they did back when I was your age. Back then, there were 10,000 Jedi Knights protecting the galaxy. Now,
there's just you and me.
All right, if I tag along?
The more the merrier.
Mission accomplished.
And hello and welcome to Star Wars Rebels Recon, another Four Midwest Guys Presents production. We're going to be reviewing Star Wars Rebels Season 2. With me is first, and we have a very special guest that'll be joining us for the show this season. He's my brother, Aaron. Aaron, say hello, sir.
Hi.
All right. And always with me, as usual, is Mr. Ankenbauer. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, doing good.
All right, guys. So what we're going to do is it's just if you've heard our Gotham watches, it's somewhat similar. We're just going to kind of give our thoughts and talking points on the episode. This one's going to be a little bit more longer, a little bit more in depth because it's a two-part. It's the Siege of Lothal, which was actually shown back in June because they showed it at Star Wars Celebration in May, so therefore they released it to everybody back in June, and it is actually the official Season 2 opener. So if you haven't seen this, go back and find it. It was released back in June, believe it or not. So with that in mind, we'll get right into it, gentlemen. With this Season 2 opener, Siege of Lothal, we see the Rebels fighting with the what they're calling themselves as Phoenix Squadron. It's a kind of a rebel band that ships and grouped together. They've got some A-wings, some smaller A-wings, and they've we find the Ghost at the very beginning of this episode, kind of fighting along with the Phoenix Squadron as an ally, and they're kind of on this mission to grab some cargo from the Empire, so to speak, and for a change, we actually get to see these guys winning. Aaron, what did you think of this scene?
It was actually pretty good to begin with. It kind of comes across like they probably just kind of blitzed the destroyer of the Empire and kind of just took the cargo. But it's an interesting change of pace from the show that kind of has been focused on kind of the smaller teamwork dynamic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Brian, what did you think?
Oh, it was very entertaining. It took me a couple of minutes to get what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like who are they fighting with at first? I was like, oh, they're fighting with some extra people.
Right.
But yeah, like Aaron said, it looks like they happened to blitz upon a small group of Imperial people and were able to catch them off guard. Because right towards the end, you see the rest of a fleet start coming in, hyperdriving in.
Yeah, it was like Aaron said, it's kind of a change of pace because we've always seen them on the run. They've always just been them and the Ghost, so it was, I don't know if it's refreshing or not, but it was definitely kind of cool to see them part of the bigger rebellion and actually get to see part of the rebellion maybe trying to form, you know, rather than just one ship against the Empire, one small group. They're seeing a much bigger picture there.
Well, it could be that this is kind of the beginning of showing or transitioning to, you know, what the original Star Wars films were kind of, you know, started at.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of, you know, resistance kind of in place.
Yeah, to me, this is the first feel of we're moving away from Revenge of the Sith because the, you know, this takes place between episodes 3 and 4, and we're moving more towards A New Hope, more towards episode 4.
Yeah.
It has that kind of feel to it. So, kind of cool to see. And then after this scene, we get into Vader. What I like to call is we get to see Vader, and we get to kind of see him set his trap. He uses Minister Tua, who's kind of like a local administrator, governor, bureaucrat, yeah. And he kind of sets her up, you know, basically threatening her life, you know, saying you're going to have to go explain this to Tarkin and explain your failures to Tarkin, and kind of sets her up and uses her as bait to pull the rebels back in to Lothal and to him. I thought this was a pretty cool scene. I thought overall his plan, we get to see kind of Vader in his prime here. What'd you think, Aaron?
It worked out pretty well. I mean, it was kind of interesting that the trap was more or less set up to more or less blow her up.
Right.
And pretty much anyone that was with her. So
yeah.
It was an interesting kind of, you know, suicide bomb tactic, I guess.
It definitely shows Vader more of the dark side of Vader, right? A little bit more sinister Vader. You know, obviously he's not Anakin Skywalker anymore, and you definitely get to see him be the bad guy, kind of using her to pull her in. What'd you think, Ankhbar?
It was refreshing to see Vader, you know, a familiar face in the show.
Right.
I don't know if I would say you really saw him in his prime with that scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he just comes in, basically just talks and says, you know, it was just a oh, it's Vader. You know, there was no.
Yeah.
Watch him, like, lightsaber duel or anything like that.
No, that's true. That's true. I just thought it was interesting, though, because he basically explained his plan to her. He's like, well, we either would need to draw them in or draw them out. And he's basically telling her his entire plan, and she has no idea that she's the pawn in it.
Well, that's not a topic for a different story, but that's because she's a woman.
Ooh, sorry, that comment does not reflect the
views or opinions of Morbid Guys. I was channeling my inner who was the rapper that just said that about the president?
Oh God,
T.I.
Yeah, T.I.
T.I. We'll stay in the Star Wars politics world instead of the real politics world.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, right.
You don't want to bring that into it.
Right. No, definitely not. If we can do comparisons, but yeah, I'd rather not. All right. So this kind of, you know, it works. It lures the rebels in because they make a deal. She makes a pact with them and says, I'll give you information, but you've got to rescue me, save me from Vader and Tarkin and the Empire. And they take the bait, and yeah, she gets blown up. And during the rescue, they sabotage her, and then they blame it on the rebels that they're the ones that blew her up. So kind of frame the rebels. And the whole process, making them look like the bad guys to the public anyway.
Yeah.
And then we finally see the rebels scrapping to get off the planet any way they can. And it ends up with Vader basically versus the rebels as a showdown as they try to steal an Imperial shuttle and make their way out. And suddenly Vader shows up with some stormtroopers. And it's pretty much an ass kicking. Right off the bat. I mean, it took all five of them. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, there are a couple, you know, strikes back. So, like, they do pretty much blow up a couple walkers and just smash it down on them.
Yeah.
Really, you know, pretty good considering they've never fought, like, a Sith Lord in the show or anything like that.
True, but, I mean, it took all five of them to take them down. And I thought probably the coolest scene of the series so far, in my opinion, you see Vader use the Force to literally... Not only does he catch these two walkers that fall on him, but then he uses one hand and you see him raise up the whole...
Throws him off. Yeah.
Yeah, and just, like, tosses it off like, you know, he's brushing off his shoulders or something.
Yeah.
You know, very cool scene. Fire in the background. Definitely a nerd scene for a Darth Vader lover like myself, so...
You want to introduce Vader strong in the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to be honest, there's even issues if you use him too often, too early on. You make him somewhat more of a Scooby-Doo villain than, like, a dark Sith Lord kind of character.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the scene had to be, it had to be an ass-kicking, because otherwise you make, you make Vader nothing, right? It takes away from his presence as being this dark Sith Lord, this all-power, you know, this very powerful dark Jedi.
It's going to be a careful balancing act for the rest of the season, and depending on how many seasons they continue this, mm-hmm. I mean, you do have to kind of have that in check.
Exactly, yeah, and not to do too much foreshadowing, but I think that's why you're going to see them use the Inquisitors more. I think you'll see Vader used sparsely. I mean, every once in a while he may use him in an episode like they did here, but
they're going to be using like Inquisitors within the next film that Disney's producing, right?
If you're talking about Rogue One, there is rumor of that, but nothing's been confirmed yet. So we see Vader just, you know, there's a small lightsaber battle between him, Kanan, and Ezra. I mean, Vader just literally kicks Kanan's butt. In fact, he could have killed Kanan and Ezra at any time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's just kind of toying with them. I mean,
Kanan and Ezra in the story are really nothing higher than apprentice level, though. So that...
Yeah,
it really shouldn't come close. Really.
It's like a level 1,000 versus a level 5 or something. You know, he grabs Kanan's hand, the lightsaber goes off, he throws him over his back. He uses the Force to throw Ezra, and actually he takes the Force and is forcing Ezra's hand to cut his own head off with his own lightsaber. Very much a butt kicking.
That's where I would say he was in his prime.
Oh yeah, 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 definitely. What did you think about that whole series there, Brian?
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorites. One of my favorites in the whole Star Wars universe, if you will, are the lightsaber scenes.
Mm, yeah.
Whether it be in the movies or in the comics or in this Disney Rebels. It's always been one of my favorites, the lightsaber scenes.
Yeah.
This right here, like you said, it's starting to bring us into the Star Wars that we grew up with.
Exactly.
A New Hope and everything.
Yeah, the classic trilogy.
Yeah, and the fact that he was able to use the Force to control the other person and make him look like he was getting ready to cut his own head off was just simply amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it truly shows the power of a Vader in his prime, and why, you know, people always wonder, well, why, you know, especially after seeing Revenge of the Sith, why, you know, Yoda doesn't go back after the Sith, and it's obvious that, you know, he'd be no match even for Vader, he just wouldn't be able to handle it.
Right.
So, being too old.
The animation for that scene particularly was really well done, like the show of speed and the influence of, like, older samurai, you know, kind of films for, like, Vader's fighting style was really well done.
It was very well done, and I gotta be honest, I'm still trying to get used to the version of Vader in Rebels, because he's drawn more Ralph McQuarrie style. Mm-hmm. And if, for those of you out there listening and don't know who Ralph McQuarrie is, he's a guy Lucas hired to do all the original concept art for Star Wars. And there's books out there with all his drawings and his paintings, and they still use them today. In fact, the BB-8 robot that's coming up in Star Wars 7 is a Ralph McQuarrie drawing-inspired robot, believe it or not. He did all the concept art. And this Vader is kind of a mix between the actual Vader we see in the classic trilogy and the Ralph McQuarrie style. Like, he has like the red tinted, like his eyes have like a red tint to him. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the mask is a little bit more drawn out. And maybe it's just me, but he looks a little bit like his shoulders aren't as broad like they are in the film. And that's probably...
He does look slightly more slender, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I was going to say, it looks like he hasn't packed on the pounds yet.
Yeah, he hasn't been buffing out, right? You know, working out at the gym. But, so I'm still kind of getting used to that. But, yeah, the animation was... was spectacular. And Aaron, as far as your samurai scene, I definitely picked up on that when they did a close up shot of Vader versus Kanan, and they do like the head, you know, headshot of them crossing lightsabers, and you kind of see Vader's mask from the side, and it almost looks like a samurai helmet to me.
Well, Vader's helmet's always been kind of similar to it, and if you look at all the Eastern influences on the Star Wars universe, it was probably meant to be somewhat intentional.
Probably, yeah. You're talking about, was it Kurosawa, is that right?
Kira Kurosawa, yeah.
Yeah, man. Definitely see it there, and it's kind of neat to see, because I have been kind of getting into the Ralph McQuarrie artwork I've looked at. I don't have any of his books or anything yet, but some of his stuff he did online, it's pretty cool. And there's a lot of references to it, too. And not to get off on too much of a tangent here, but even some of the robots, the droids you see in Rebels, are actually taken directly from Ralph McQuarrie's artwork. So just a little bit of a tidbit there for you guys. But getting back to the scene, Vader... In my opinion, at the end of this, I mean, Vader, I think, could have ran after him and probably killed them all. But in my opinion, I think he let him go on purpose to, you know, for his ultimate goal of trying to find the Rebel fleet. What do you guys think about that? Do you think he did it on purpose, or they did get away from him?
Yeah, I think we've always known that Vader always has ultimate game plans. Him and the Emperor both. You know, watching all of the Star Wars, we've seen a lot of the general tactics of, you know, there's always a bigger plan. We didn't want to bring Luke to meet the Emperor. We only did that because we let them have the plans, and now we'll crush the entire fleet in one swoop.
Mm-hmm.
There's always foreshadowing of what they want to happen, and I think this, like you said, it's a perfect example of Vader has a bigger plan, or maybe it's not Vader's plan.
Yeah, it could be the Emperor's. It's possible.
Maybe the Emperor's plan, and Vader's just following his master, and you know he's like, I'm just gonna toy with them and let them go. They'll bring the rest of them with them.
Yeah, I always, especially after watching the prequel trilogy where we see, you know, Palpatine become the Emperor, I always want to give the Emperor more credit than sometimes he deserves, but I don't know, it could have been his plot, because I'm always thinking, man, this guy is so devious and so twisted and so, you know, just awesome as a villain. You know, it could have been. It could very well have been. It's a good point. It could have been his plan, but, you know, I don't know. I kind of get the feeling they dispatched Vader, he said, Vader's your mission, and he let him at it. But you're right, Brian, it could very well be the Emperor, because there's nobody more twisted than Palpatine, that's for sure, in my opinion. Aaron, what do you think? Do you think he let him go, or do you think Vader let him go, or do you think he just got away?
There'd be benefits to letting them go, but there's also the possibility that it simply was just a contingency plan of how it went down.
Mm.
He pretty much lured them to a spot, he could destroy them there. If not, then, you know, they'd be destroyed as they were trying to exit the atmosphere. And if not, there was a tracking beacon, so there could just been a series of contingency plans had, you know, it not been successful.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point, too. I just think, in my opinion, I think he let him go, because I think because at the end of the scene, you see him, you know, the stormtrooper goes, well, there's, you know, we'll get our pilots right after him, sir. And he's like, that won't be necessary, Commander. You know, the rebels aren't going anywhere. So, I don't know. It's open for debate, but just my thought on it. So, we see our rebels get away. Ezra, you know, asks who the heck's that, and Kanan tells him, well, that's a Sith Lord, and he finds out a little bit of, background between, you know, the Sith versus the Jedi a little bit, and understands that there's a big difference between an Inquisitor and a Sith Lord, so to speak. And they're trying to figure out a way off, and they say, well, you know, we have to figure out a way to smuggle ourselves off. And Hera's like, well, I know the perfect man to smuggle us off and plan it. And they're like, not him. And they're obviously talking about Lando, who we see in season one. I think having Lando on the show is a good thing, but I know there is a few dissenting voices out there, and I'd like to get your guys' take. Do you think Lando's good for the show, necessarily?
I think he's necessary. You know, when we see him in the original trilogy,
mm-hmm.
we don't really have the backstory of how he lost the Millennium Falcon, how. You know, we don't get any of that kind of stuff, that backstory, because you can tell that he's somebody important because he's in charge of Cloud City.
Right.
You know, so in this, I think it's necessary to get kind of like a backstory on Lando. Plus, it's going to give those of us who are fans of the original trilogy, but not so much the originals, that sense of, oh, now we can see where this is going kind of thing. You know, give us that little tease of, we know what's coming, but how do we get there? How do we get to that point?
It's a little bit of an Easter egg, is what you're saying, for the original fans, for original trilogy fans. Aaron, what do you think?
I think it probably is a good choice for the show. Having a morally neutral character that's kind of self-benefiting provides a nice contrast to the Sith or the Jedi or the Rebels or what have you. It provides a nice nuance and contrast.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think, you know, he's... like Brian said, it's great to have that Easter egg. You get, you know, we're finally getting a little bit of backstory on the Lando character, because he hints at stuff all the time in the original trilogy. In Jedi, he says, you know, Han says, "Well, look at you, a general." He's like, "Well, yeah, somebody must have told him about my little maneuver at the Battle of Tanav," and I still don't know what the Battle of Tanav is, and I'm hoping I'm going to find out.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, I think it's a great thing. I think he's a good character. It's awesome that they're using Billy Dee Williams to voice him, and kudos to Dave Filoni and the whole team for doing that. And also kudos, also while I'm thinking about it, for using for getting James Earl Jones to do Darth Vader's voice. Which is great. Absolutely awesome.
What's funny, Brian, is when I originally saw that Vader was going to be coming onto the show, I was like, oh my god, who are they going to get to play Vader's voice?
Yeah,
I was going to be so upset if they pulled somebody different, you know. I'm like, oh, don't be. And then all of a sudden I heard the voice and I was like, oh, holy crap.
Yeah, I know, dude. I was thinking, oh god, they're going to get Chad, the guy who does Chad Vader on YouTube to do his voice, and he does an all right job. I'll give him credit, but he's not James Earl Jones by any stretch of the imagination. So yeah, definitely kudos to the whole team for going to go get the original voice actors from mm-hmm. the original trilogy. So yeah, it's very cool to see. It's awesome if you're a Star Wars fan. And And if you guys are listening to this podcast and you've never seen Star Wars Rebels, oh my god, go watch it. Watch the Clone Wars, too, honestly, what happens before, because, yeah, it's because you don't have to watch the Clone Wars to watch Rebels, but, yeah, there's an extension of the Clone Wars story into Rebels, so definitely worth checking.
Me and my daughter actually were able to watch Season 1 of Rebels on DirecTV.
Okay, cool.
So I know if anybody out there has DirecTV and you're trying to figure out how you're going to be able to watch Rebels, you can actually binge watch the entire first season.
Awesome.
It's on DirecTV's app, so you can watch them on your phone or whatnot.
Oh, sweet. So it's like their on-demand service. Yep. Okay, sweet. Awesome. I didn't know that. I've been waiting for it to come out on Netflix just to rewatch some of the old episodes, so... That's awesome. Okay, so finally, Lando devises a plan, or Sabine and Lando devise a plan, I guess, kind of together, kind of sort of, even though Lando's technically not on the planet. But Lando's droid, which, again, is a classic Ralph McQuarrie drawn droid, for those of you geeks out there, is they devise a plan. They come up with these little signal devices that confuse the Empire and put off the same signal as the shuttle they've stolen, Imperial shuttle they've stolen, and they get away. And of course, the minute they show up at back at the Phoenix Squadron command ship, Chopper comes out and tells them that, you know, a tracking device has been triggered on the ship, and next thing you know, Vader. Ship shows up. They're like, we have a ship on scanner, and it's Vader's ship, and it's only Vader. And pretty much Vader shows why he, a.k.a. Anakin, is the best starfighter and pilot in the galaxy. Not only does he destroy the Phoenix Squadron that goes out after him, but he pretty much decimates, cuts right through their, you know, the he destroys the command ship, and he just cuts right through their defenses without any problem. I really like the scene. I thought it was awesome that it was just Vader versus them. It was just kind of a tribute to Darth Vader. I don't know. What'd you think, Brian?
Yeah, I think it added to his making him the badass villain that we know him to be in the original trilogy. Just watching him just go through that entire fleet was just had me in awe. Mouth dropping, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I mean he was flying, and all of a sudden he went backwards. You know, he flipped his ship around, and he's flying backwards, and he's shooting the Phoenix Squadron that's chasing him at the time and destroying them while he's going backwards. Pretty cool. Aaron, what'd you think?
I thought it was a great scene. In some ways, it kind of makes him look a bit more vast than even the lightsaber duel did.
Yeah,
is you just see him just cutting through, just taking pretty much everyone on his path. I mean, for the exception of, like, the main ship, or not the command ship, but the ghost, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And even the, you know, the I think if the ghost hadn't been so specially equipped, because it's kind of a unique ship, it's kind of like the Falcon of Rebels, you know, it's got special shielding and adjustments and whatnot, that I don't think it would have survived either. In fact, after the battle, you even see Chopper outside, you know, doing repairs on the ship.
Pulling his R2-D2 moment.
Yeah, his little R2 moment. He's out there, you know, soldering the ship back together, so to speak. So, one of the big scenes we see in the battle, as Vader's going in for the kill on the command ship, basically to finish it off, Ahsoka, who has joined the Rebels on the Ghost, because she asks if I can tag along, and they're like, yeah, more the merrier, according to Ezra. She gets on the ship, and she realizes whoever this guy is flying this ship is very strong with the Force. And so her, and with the help of Kanan, she kind of reaches, extends her hand, and uses the Force to try to see who this guy is. And, yeah, she makes connection with Vader. You see Vader kind of tilt his head and go, "The apprentice lives." And with that, Ahsoka, like, freaks out and faints, because I think she figures, I don't know if she does or not, but whatever she saw, she didn't like, and it was, she just faints, literally faints. So my question to you guys, do you think she knows who Darth Vader is? And I'll go, Ankhabar, to you first on this one.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those, like, we thought he was dead kind of things. And she just faints because she's like, holy crap, he was the Jedi savior.
Right.
But now all of a sudden we see that he's with the Sith, and holy crap.
You know? Right. And if, for those of you who don't know, in the Clone Wars, Ahsoka is a character introduced in the Clone Wars series as Anakin Skywalker's apprentice. So, not only is she a fellow Jedi, but she basically was trained by Anakin Skywalker. So, definitely a deep connection between her and Anakin. So, it's basically her discovering maybe that her master, former master, is now a Sith Lord. Aaron, what do you think?
She clearly has her suspicions, if not outright believes that it's him.
Yeah. Do you think... part of me thinks it's like... does she think it's so bad that it can't be true and she won't believe it? Because even at the end of the scene, they ask her, do you know... You know, Ezra and Kanan are like... Once they escaped, they're like, do you know who this guy is? And she's like, no. So I wonder if she's in denial. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Possibility. Once again, it could be something where maybe she assumed he was dead.
Yeah.
And to be honest, from where the Clone Wars and the last of the prequels ended off, it's not really clear how the rest of the universe views how Anakin Skywalker before Vader came to be.
Yeah, yeah. It, I mean, because only Kenobi really knows, right? And Yoda, I guess. Kinda. And I maybe
they say in the movie explicitly.
Yeah, that, and I guess the Organa, Bail Organa knows. So he's the head of, he's kind of the finance backer of the Rebels, so he might know, but because he took Leia as his daughter, but. Yeah, so it's probably not very well known, if at all, that, and as far as Kenobi's concerned, he's dead, because he walked away from him, and he has no idea that he survived. At least, we have no indication yet that Kenobi knows that he's alive and is out there, so.
Well, even if you listen to the conversation between Palpatine and Vader themselves, they refer to, you know, Skywalker as being a separate individual.
Right, right.
So even if you were overhearing it.
Right, so to me, this is a big scene because, to me, this could set up like a theme for the entire upcoming season. Is Ahsoka's on this? She going to go on this quest for truth? Is she going to go out? Is this going to be her thing? She has to find out who Vader. She has to know if Anakin is Darth Vader, and ultimately, you know, is that going to lead to a showdown between Ahsoka and Vader? So will we see an apprentice versus, you know, her old master? Will we get to see, essentially, Anakin Skywalker, you know, a dark Jedi Darth Vader versus Ahsoka, which, you know, is a big geek-out moment for me as an old Clone Wars fan. What do you think, Aaron?
I would expect it at some point, maybe not this season, but really without any other Jedis of that level, to face Vader or any of the other Inquisitors, I would kind of assume Ahsoka would be taking the mantle on that one.
Yeah, she's kind of become the Yoda of the series almost, right? She's now like she's no longer, so in Clone Wars we saw her as an apprentice, so now she's become a Jedi Knight without being a Jedi Knight.
Yeah. Outside of Kenobi, who's still alive, and Yoda, who's still alive, there's really not, we're not aware of any other full-fledged Jedis that actually survived the Clone Wars.
Right, right. Brian, what do you think about maybe seeing Darth Vader versus, I know you're still kind of new to the Clone Wars, but him taking on an old apprentice, what do you think?
I think that that's gonna end up this season. Like you said, you're gonna see her make small discoveries, and eventually you're gonna see her battle Vader, and I think ultimately you're gonna see Vader destroy her, because she can tell anybody that Anakin is Darth Vader.
Right, and obviously she's not in the classic trilogy, right? So she's not in Episode 4 or beyond. So
that's what I'm thinking. So like you're gonna get that, what do you call it? That kind of climax of apprentice versus
master,
and Vader's gonna destroy her, because they are building up Vader to be this badass. I don't think it'll be semi close until all of a sudden he's done toying with her and just, you know what I mean?
Exactly, and I think it's I've got so many thoughts going through my head right now. I think it's gonna, obviously I think he's gonna kill her. I think she embodies, if you just look at it from Vader's point of view, she embodies everything he used to be and everything he now hates. So, yeah, I think not only will he kill her, he doesn't want to kill her. He wants to destroy her, because she's a stark contrast reminder of who he was. And he wants nothing to do with that now, because, you know, we hear it in Jedi, you know, Luke's like, well, I've accepted the truth that you are once Anakin Skywalker, my father. And he turns to him and goes, that name no longer has any meaning for me. You know, real, real stark contrast.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting, because I wonder if even though Luke is the main reason Vader returns to the light side at the end of Jedi, spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen the Star Wars Classic Trilogy, I can't help you. But
I was like, if they haven't seen that, why are they listening to this podcast?
Yeah, precisely. So, Mike, that brings up another question of mine is, I wonder if this will be the first crack or kink in the Darth Vader mantle and in the Sith armor, so to speak. Will this be the first thing that starts him, that brings back up all the old feelings, that brings back up all the old, maybe kind of links back to Anakin?
You know? Well, that's a good, I didn't even think about that. This could be like his, for the first moment where he actually has reservations about being a Sith Lord.
Right. Aaron, what do you think? What do you think about that?
It's a possibility, but as it's setting it up now, I wouldn't think it would be.
Okay.
Or I just kind of see him just kind of turning his back on everything at this point in the story arc.
Okay, so you don't think we'll see him kind of maybe hesitate even? Maybe.
There could be a possibility there might be a bit of regret if he kills her, but...
Yeah.
I wouldn't see it be much beyond that.
So you pretty much see him as just staying the Dark Lord and staying the Dark Sith, you know, Darth Vader, the badass, through the whole series.
There could be a possibility of giving the character more depth within the series, but at the same time, I don't really see him being remorseful or already changing back before you get to the events of, like, the original movies.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it would be interesting to see, but then again, I wonder, you know, do we want to see that? Do we want to see, you know, the mantle of the dark, you know, this badass Vader that we all been dying and really wanting to see, for those of us that are Darth Vader fans? And so I don't know, do we want to see him contemplate that or not? I don't know.
If you're going to have a series where it focuses on him in a longer period and is in more depth as a character, you probably would see that.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. It just depends on how much they end up focusing on him.
Yeah, I don't mind seeing almost like a sighing scene, but I don't want to see anything more than that, because I don't want to see a sobbing Vader, right?
Well, that was pretty much the end when he dies in the Star Wars films.
Well,
the helmet on and all that.
Well, that's fine, and that's perfectly fine, because that's his redemption scene, right? But right now, at this point in the storyline, I don't know if I want to see one of my biggest problems with the prequels. And I'm a prequel defender, not a hater, but one of my biggest problems is the cry out of no, and at the end of Revenge of the Sith. I don't know. I didn't like that. I didn't think that was, once he put the suit on and became the Darth Vader we knew, I just thought it was inappropriate. I didn't want to see that. So so I'm definitely, but it is an interesting question, though, to see will this bring back up feelings, and will this be maybe just ever so slightly be his the start of the turn back? You know, the road back. I don't know. It seemed to me also that before Vader realizes Ahsoka's with the rebels, that they're kind of flees to him, like he's going to exterminate them, and that he was just going to destroy them all. To me, I think he was out. I actually think he was going to kill them all until he found out Ahsoka was with the rebels, and I think that might be what was their saving grace, and prevented him from destroying them all. Because even, you know, the Star Destroyers show up and they're like, "What are your orders?" He's like, "I want these rebels alive." Ankabauer, what do you think? Do you think maybe this saved them in the long run? Because now,
I think it did, only for the reason that Vader now doesn't view them as rebels, but possibly a group of Jedi that may have been missed.
Mm.
So now all of a sudden he's like, I need them alive so I can question them to find out if there's any more Jedis out there. Because before it was, he just knew about Ezra and Kanan. And then all of a sudden, now is another one. You know,
right.
Are there more? You know, we need to bring them in so I can, you know, find out.
Right, and it's not just a Jedi; it's his old apprentice, right? So,
right.
So suddenly,
I don't know. I don't know if that so much had anything to do with it, as it was just the fact that it was another Jedi.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, this problem, what they didn't think was a problem, they just thought it was rebels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is now becoming a bigger issue.
Yeah, I agree. I think it almost became personal to him from that point on. From that point on, he wanted him alive because he wanted to know, and he wanted it brought back more things. In fact, you know, we see. Actually, Aaron, what do you think?
To be honest, it kind of comes across like there is an interest in how many other Jedis there are, whether there is a new Jedi generation kind of forming, and whether that needs to be stopped as early on as possible.
Mm. Yeah, try to extinguish it, you know. Because
before it expands too heavily.
Yeah, because we do see that, you know, the Emperor does say in, Revenge of the Sith, you know, after Anakin turns, he's like, we have to hunt them down and destroy them because the Jedi are relentless. It'll be civil war without end. So obviously, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that point. At the end of the... So after Vader destroys the command ship and the... Ghost is able to get away and save what's left of the fleet. They get away. We see Vader on the Star Destroyer, and Agent Kallus is like, you've broken them, you have them on the run, good job, sir, you know, congratulations. And he's like, clear the bridge. And they walk off, and Vader kneels down. You don't see the Emperor, they don't animate him, but obviously it's a hologram, and you start hearing the Emperor talk. And the Emperor's like... He reports that he has broken the rebels, and the Emperor's like, and yet I sense more to your victory. And Vader's like, yes, I believe I've discovered that the apprentice of Anakin Skywalker is still alive. So, and he goes, are you sure? And he goes, yes, it was her. And he goes, this is an opportunity we cannot let pass, and we're going, maybe we can use this as an opportunity to find more lost Jedi. Well, she'll lead us to more lost Jedi. And he tells him to dispatch more Inquisitors to hunt down the rebels, etc. But my question here is, one question I had, do you think the Emperor is holding Vader back here from going after him himself? Because why send Inquisitors when you have, he's already got him on the run, he's already right there. To me, it seems like the Emperor's almost holding him back because Vader's, when he brings up the idea of finding more lost Jedi, and Vader's even like, possibly even Kenobi, because Vader, all of Vader's hate and rage is towards Kenobi for, you know, basically dismembering him, right? Mm-hmm. So my question to you, and I'll start with Enkenbauer, is do you guys think that maybe the Emperor's doing this on purpose, maybe to kind of tease Vader and maybe create more anger in him?
I think it could be that, or it could be that, you know, the Emperor does have a very good way of knowing what's going to happen before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe the Emperor felt that, you know, much like the turn of Vader, maybe he saw that a foreshadowing that there was a possibility of Vader going back to the light side.
Hmm. And there's a point. Yeah.
So maybe he was, you know, good job. But we'll send others to find them, because this deep, Vader has no qualms about beating people up and killing people that he has no idea who they are. They don't mean anything to him. Like you said, they're fleas.
Right.
But all of a sudden, you bring up somebody who's from Anakin's past, and there's no telling what kind of feelings that could bring up.
No, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, because he would, you know, he knows that, you know, he's Anakin Skywalker, and it's Anakin Skywalker's apprentice, so maybe that is getting too close to Anakin for Vader. I didn't think about that. Aaron, good point. Brian, what do you think, Aaron?
I think using the Inquisitors is actually just a more practical decision. You're covering a large section of space. You don't really know where the rebels end up fleeing towards, and you have to cover larger distances and larger areas, and you have to collect data. It's the equivalent of using scouts before you send in a tank.
No, okay. So maybe more of just a tactical mm-hmm. reason, just to spread them out, find out, collect the information, and then send Vader in at the end and to,
yeah.
you know, as your heavy hitter.
You have a rough idea of, you know, the area that they have fled towards before you start sending them back in.
Right, right.
And then there could just be a general pacing issue from just a storyline point of view where you don't want to overuse Vader too heavily.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it goes back to, you know, being very careful with such an iconic character, at least from a storytelling standpoint, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like to think that it's the Emperor teasing Vader. I like to think because, you know, again, going back to Revenge of the Sith, you know, he's like, you know, do you want to kill me? He's like, I very much like to. And he's like, I know, I can feel your anger. It gives you strength, gives you purpose, gives you focus, you know. So I think he's just goading him. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. So that was pretty much the episode, guys. I think there's only one thing left to do, and it's time for final thoughts. All right, Ankenbauer, I will give you the honor of the first final thoughts or slash grade of the episode.
All right, I think, as far as it being an animated series, as far as being a Star Wars show, I would grade it probably at a low A, high B, just for the sheer fact that we do have a live-action universe that Star Wars is a part of. For the overall show itself, I would definitely give it an A. It's caught my daughter's attention.
Really?
We started watching it knowing that we were going to start doing this podcast. I wanted to go back and watch season one. We watched two episodes in the morning before school. And all of a sudden, every morning, she was like, Dad, we're going to watch Star Wars. Dad, we're going to watch Star Wars.
That's awesome.
And we proceeded to watch every episode over the course of, what, two, 3 weeks there.
Yeah.
But we watched every episode for this show. I think it's very well written. It has a storyline that, you don't, like you said, you don't have to watch the Clone Wars, or you don't have to watch the live-action universe, but it does help. And I think it goes well by itself without knowing anything else. If you say you're 5 years old and you've never seen the other Star Wars, you start watching the show, it's going to get you hooked. Especially once your parents realize you're watching it and they're like, well, you don't know who Vader is? And then they start showing them the original trilogy, and you know they're going to get tons of people hooked into this universe.
Mm, definitely.
I'm really excited at the fact that they're starting to bring in those characters that we know.
Mm, yeah.
From the original series. Like I said, we know where it goes.
Right.
To be able to see that storyline between where we just saw it end, and come up to where we're at now to foreshadow, we don't know how many years down the road it is. Because
right.
It's not like it's, you know, like Star Trek or anything, give us star dates.
Yeah. Actually, when they start the series, it's 5 years before A New Hope starts. So just to give you a little reference. So.
Okay, so this series can only go for five seasons then, right?
Well, some people would think there's some talk of if it's successful and if Disney greenlights it, that they could continue the Rebel story like after A New Hope. So we would get to see the Rebels through Empire. Between A New Hope and Empire kind of deal, right? So
that's kind of interesting how they would do.
Yeah. So there's at least I've heard Dave Filoni, who's the director and creator of the show, one of the creators of the show. He said it depends on what Disney wants to do. If they want, we can greenlight it and we can actually continue the story in, you know, post A New Hope. So it's all up to Disney, really, in my opinion.
And how many characters are we up to now that are in the original trilogy that are on the show?
Oh, wow, you got Tarkin, Vader.
I forgot about Tarkin.
Yeah.
So that's five.
Yeah.
Because you got Tarkin, Vader, C-3PO, R2-D2, Lando Calrissian.
Yep. There's a rumor going around this season we may see Han Solo at some point.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think we're only going to see more and more, or at least hints hints at it, maybe even of even further characters, maybe lesser known characters, you know, even.
Right.
So, you know, we're seeing, like in the next episode, we're going to see Rex, Captain Rex from the Clone Wars. So they're actually kind of tying the two together, right? The prequel era and the classic trilogy it's kind of a mix right now.
Right.
So, but yeah. So what? So you gave you're giving it. You said a kind of an A.
Yeah, I give it an A. And okay. I give it an A. A mid to high A.
Okay. Cool. Sweet. And I'm awesome. It's awesome to hear that your daughter is into it. Mine is as well. But it's kind of our thing. We kind of sit down and watch it together. It's a good gateway into the Star Wars universe, so to speak. So,
yeah.
Aaron, what's your final thought/grade of the episode, sir?
Like an actual letter grade?
Yeah. Well, whatever you want to give it. Scale 1 to 10. A.
An A's fine. To be honest, I think in a lot of ways this series actually does better than Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It has an original cast that is interesting, has a lot of backstory, has room for growth. Like, even in just this episode alone, you see Kanan being kind of troubled and just being in the more military-like environment and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the concept of actually starting a war with the Empire rather than just having basic attacks and stealing from them and such. And it really allows for a lot of character depth and variation, and it's pretty well written so far.
Oh yeah, definitely, and that's a good point. We didn't even touch on that on Kanan's reluctance to get into another war because he lived the Clone Wars, he lived Order 66, saw his master gunned down, you know, by stormtroopers and stuff like that. So
In this episode, there's an entire village that's just wiped out.
Yeah, the Tarkin town, shanty town, yeah. So that just shows the more evil of Darth Vader, so to speak. But yeah, that was definitely something we forgot to touch on. Is you know, we get to see the reluctance of Kanan even being in the rebellion because he doesn't want to be any part of any military. He prefers the Robin Hood, and that goes back to the whole, you know, the true essence of a Jedi, you know, Jedis don't fight wars, they're peacekeepers, you know, kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. So, great point, Aaron. And, my final thought and grade, I give this episode an A++. You know, we finally get to see Darth Vader the way I've always wanted to see him, you know, kind of in his prime, really out there, you know, just, wow, just kicking everybody's butt. Essentially we got to see, you know, again, we got to see, you know, Ahsoka brought into it. We get to see Ahsoka versus Vader set up, you know, all kinds of questions that we touched on tonight, brought up great plot lines. It's very well written. If to speak as a series overall, Dave Filoni, who did Clone Wars with George Lucas, he was actually trained by George Lucas, so to speak, and now he's out on his own with Rebels. Him and his entire team are doing an outstanding job of writing. Every episode of Rebels to me is almost like a mini Star Wars movie, in my opinion. It's phenomenal storytelling, in my opinion. It is better than Clone Wars. Clone Wars was good, but Clone Wars was all over the place. You know, you might one episode you might get the Jedi, and another episode you might just get stormtroopers, or they might go over here and they're all over the galaxy, so to speak. But with Rebels, we're following one group through the entire storyline. So to me, Rebels also has more of the classic trilogy feel to it. Just kind of like what, you know, Brian Inkbauer was saying, you know, it has, we're getting closer and it's got more of that feel to it. It's even written more like the classic trilogy, the dialogue, the humor, the kind of the corny humor thrown in. So I think it's an excellent series. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch season one. Start with season two. I don't care where you start, honestly. It's that good of a series. I think they are mini Star Wars movies, and if you're any kind of Star Wars fan, you're going to love it. Even if you're not a Star Wars fan, you're going to love it. Just kind of like, you know, Anakin Bauer said his daughter is now into it. You know, it's my daughter's into it. You know, it's a great starting point for your kids. You know, if you want your kids to get into Star Wars, you know.
Just quick question for you, Brian. Can you imagine if Star Wars Rebels was actually like a live-action TV show.
Oh my god, dude. Production, I don't think you could do it. Because of money, right?
I don't know. I mean, they were able to do Next Generation for Star Trek. And that is very, very similar feel to what we get episode per episode. And I don't know. I think we could actually get a... Because they're talking about a live-action Star Wars show.
Yeah, on Netflix or something. On
Netflix,
or
maybe
ABC.
It's going to be something similar to Rebels.
Yeah. Aaron, you were trying to say something?
Oh, well, you can look at modern sci-fi shows, and they actually could come pretty close to it. I mean, you've seen, like, Dark Matter or Killjoys. They have some pretty decent, like, just scenes and special effects to where it combines good storytelling with, you know, kind of decent fight scenes.
Well, and honestly, Rebels, there are rumors of maybe a character or two showing up in Rogue One, because Rogue One is how they get the plans for the first Death Star. So,
and that might be a little difficult to see how that goes, especially if you look at how Disney treats a lot of its iconic characters in the animated universe.
Yeah.
If you have, like, say, a character that's animated, you can put pretty much any person in a costume and send them out into a theme park. Yeah. Once you have a legitimate actor, that's that representation, that becomes much more difficult.
Well, I agree, but, you know, Disney, just to counterpoint you there a little bit, they're starting to do it now, though. I mean, look at, what is it, not that I want to compare the Cinderella to Star Wars, but Cinderella, live action, now.
Yeah, they did that in Maleficent.
Maleficent, yeah, you know, so, yeah, I agree with you, but there is a little bit of history there that they're trying anyway. Yeah, a live action would be absolutely amazing, and I, dear God, please, you know, I'm all for it. You know, I was hoping before Disney bought them, they kept talking about this Star Wars Underworld live action series. I'm just hoping.
Some of the violent things they're doing for Netflix, that still might be, or with Marvel properties, that still might be an option.
I mean, even if they do like a Star Wars on a Daredevil budget. Would still be something cool, like a bounty hunter series or something.
Yeah,
that would be phenomenal, in my opinion. I don't know, Enkebauer. I know you're a big bounty hunter guy. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think of all the different ways that they could go. Like, once you did bring up the fact they were going to do a live action Star Wars show, I was trying to figure out what would be the easiest to do. As far as budget wise, because the Star Wars universe is just so big,
yeah.
I feel like it would be like Clone Wars, where it'd be all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So how would they? You know, like Star Trek did Deep Space Nine, and they focused on one aspect of the entire universe, and everything kind of flowed through there. Would they do something like that? And they would do like they would call it Imperial City or whatever, and everything would focus on everything that came through the.
Yeah.
One area, or would they follow like they're doing with Rebels, and they would follow, several of the bounty hunters throughout their endeavors. You know what I mean? I don't know. Or would they make it like a Cheers and just call it Cantina? You know what I mean? All those things are going through my mind as to how they could play it out, as far as a live action show. So I'm up for anything. Nothing can be worse than some of these shows that we're seeing that come out now on TV. But I'm up for anything, and I'll give it. I'll give it the usual 4 to 5 episodes to see if it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt with the importance of Star Wars in the Disney universe now.
Mm-hmm.
I seriously, in the way they're able to market, I seriously doubt that it'd be anything less than spectacular.
I wouldn't expect anything less than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. level, and I'm really enjoying Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know not everybody likes it, but
it's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Especially this season.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not watching that show, I don't know what to tell you. I would love to do a podcast just on that show, but there's just not enough time in the world. I would love to see live action Star Wars, please, 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 please. But to get back to Rebels, it's a great show, fantastic show. it's a cartoon, and yeah, it's geared towards kids, obviously, but
well, to an extent. I mean,
to an extent,
it's kind of like a lot of older cartoons where the kids are, you know, between a certain age range might be the target demographic, but there's enough content to where anyone outside of it is still going to enjoy it heavily. Same with Flintstones, Simpsons, or, you know, any other numerous animated cartoons that are out there nowadays.
Oh yeah, it's obviously it has, you know, it's toned down for kids, but it does go dark. I mean, we've already seen a major bad guy bite it in season one, you know, spoiler alert. You know, so, yeah, it's worth your time. If you're a Star Wars fan, even if you're not a Star Wars fan, it's worth your time. So, all right, guys. Well, it's been an absolutely excellent show. Aaron, welcome aboard, your first podcast with us, little brother. Loved having you on, great insight, as always. I know our conversations are always so in depth, and it was awesome to have your input. Enkenbauer, thanks for being with us on this first episode and joining us for Rebels. As always, your input is invaluable, sir.
Thank you.
All right. And so, you're probably wondering, where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? Well, you can find us on Facebook.com, the number 4 Midwest Guys. You can follow us on Twitter at the number 4 Midwest Guys. And you can get us on email, the number 4 at gmail.com. Number 4 Midwest Guys at gmail.com. All right. Well, it's been a great show, and may the Force be with you. Catch you next time.